with me to 1 Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're looking at our love life, the love that God has loved us with, and the love that He commands us to love one another with. And that is, as we saw last week, it's a love of a different source. It's not a love that comes from our humanness. It's not a romantic love. It is a divine love. The Greek word is agape. And let's read about it here in 1 Corinthians 13. We'll read the whole passage, then we'll come back and pick up from last week. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as also I am known. Now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Amen? So, we saw last week that the love of God, this agape love, it's the main word in the Greek language that's used for the divine love as described in the Bible, all right? Different than the love that would be physical or sensual, or different than a love that is a friendship, phileo love. But this is the love that is God's character. God is agape. It's what He's made of, all right? And so it is seen in the way that He treats us. So this is a great description of love in 1 Corinthians 13, but that is also consistent in the way that Jesus treated people. Jesus was agape on display. Agape made flesh. And so we get to see the love of God in the form of Jesus Christ. And so it is the love that God has towards us, but then it's the love that Jesus said, love one another. And so it is agape that we are commanded to have for one another. Now, how is this possible? When we see how Jesus loves, when we hear this described, we think that is tough. You know, I have a hard time sometimes just being nice to people. Right? I mean, think about it. If you're in traffic and you're at work, you know, for a week, just being nice to people is sometimes difficult. Right? Did you come to church? All right. Did we have real people that came to church, or just only perfect people? Look at Romans chapter 5:5. So how is this possible? How is it possible that we are going to agape one another, agape our spouse? Well, we have the answer in Romans 5, verse 5. Turn to it. I want you to see it. I want you to see this for yourself. Because what God asks us to do, He enables us to do. We're in the age of grace. We're in the age, not just the law written on tablets of stone, but He's written His law in our heart. He gives us both the will and the to do of His good pleasure. All right, Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God, that's agape, has been poured out in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Was not poured out by a person. Someone cannot fill you with love. You fill up my senses. Well, no. Yeah, there's certain people that fill up our senses. It's just which senses are they filling up, right? But the Holy Spirit pours out the agape love of God. So when He comes and we are born again, when we're made sons and daughters of God, we are given a supply of the love of God. And so when we read 1 Corinthians 13 and we see this love on display and we're challenged to live this way, it's completely unscriptural to say, oh God, just fill me with your love. He would say, I did. You didn't get the memo. All right, well, you're here today, and so you got the Romans 5:5 memo. You have been filled with the love of God. All of His character has been deposited in you. The ability to love like God, that ability has been given by the Holy Spirit. Amen. It didn't come with a marriage certificate. It didn't come with a baptismal certificate. It came when you were born again, when you were made a child of God. All right? So in 1 Corinthians 13, we have this wonderful description of agape, what this love looks like. And so in the first three verses last week, we saw that it is possible to be very spiritual and have some fruits in your life, like the gifts of the Spirit and tongues and knowledge and faith and even sacrificial giving, all right? But all those things can be done without love, without love being at the center. And agape means that the decisions I'm going to make, I'm thinking, how is this going to benefit someone else? How is this going to bless their life? All right. And so we can have some signs of what we would consider, wow, that's a spiritual person. Oh man, what a Christian. But if love is not at its core, we're nothing. It profits us nothing. We're just like a gong. All right. And so we saw in verse 4 that those descriptions of what love is like. Love, agape, is patient. It is enduring. It has a deep well, a reservoir that is connected to the love of God. Amen? You don't have to protect the supply of God's love through load shedding, through love shedding. I just don't know if I can. I'm just going to have to hold on to my love. I don't know if I have enough. No, there's a rich supply. It never runs dry. It never runs dry towards you, and it will never run dry through you. Isn't that good news? All right. We saw that it says that the love of God is not selfish. It is not self-centered. All right. So it thinks about how can I bless other people? All right. Agape cares for people. It is what is beneficial for someone else. Now, God is love, right? God is agape. Jesus, Hebrews 1 tells us that He is the exact image of the Father. All right. He is, Jesus said it this way. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So every way that Jesus acted was a reflection of the love of God. All right. Some of you know Jesus never had a bad day. Jesus never apologized. Jesus never said, you know, I'm a little bit under stress right now. Come on. Okay. You need to understand. All right. So if Jesus is the expression of love, and love is not selfish, okay, then we have to understand that agape love can at times include turning over tables. Is that what Jesus did? All right, so please don't go home and start throwing tables, all right? But it doesn't mean that love is always smiley. Oh, everything is just wonderful. Okay, we're going to see what some of the things that agape is and what agape isn't. All right, so Jesus was walking in love when He kicked the money changers out of His Father's temple. All right, that was done in love. That was done to benefit someone else. All right, he wasn't out of control on that day. See, agape is about what is going to bless someone. It's what's beneficial for someone. It's not necessarily what's going to make them happy. All right, how many of you know, if you're a mom or dad, right? You don't do what makes your children happy. You do what is going to benefit their life. There's a big difference, isn't there? All right. So again, you can just give them candy floss all day long. That is not beneficial. They'll be happy for only a short amount of time until all their teeth fall out. Okay. All right. So sometimes what we consider love or what we try to show forth as love is really selfish at its core. Right? You know, a single person. Hey, baby, I love you. I love you. Oh, baby, I love you. No. That is selfish. It is self-serving. And there is only one person that you are seeking to bless. And it is you. Oh, but I love you, baby. Oh, I love you, baby. You love yourself. Yeah, you love yourself. All right, so everything that looks like love sometimes isn't love. And things that we think, well, I don't know if that's love, it actually is love. All right, so we need to let Scripture define love and not just what we think. All right? So how many of you know if you have a little, tiny little baby, eventually they need to learn how to cry themselves to sleep, right? Okay. All right. Amen. They can't live in your bed for the rest of their life. Okay, and so you've got to let them learn how to grow up. Right. This is for all the mamas out there. All right, and their boys. Okay. So, but sometimes you know I've seen parents where you know my wife and I'll talk to them and say, well, just let them cry for 5 minutes. Let them cry for 10 minutes. They're not going to die. Crying will not kill them, all right? They don't have a fever. You know, they're dry, they're fed, right? They need to figure it out themselves eventually, right? But sometimes parents will say this, oh, but it hurts me so. It hurts me. Who does it hurt? It hurts me, it hurts me. See, that's not agape. So you're thinking about yourself. You're thinking about your own emotions.
I just don't know if I could have my children go across the street to Unza. It'll hurt me so.
It'll hurt who? It'll hurt you. That's not agape. It's not agape. Agape doesn't have you at the center, all right? So again, when we're raising up our kids, we discipline them, all right? What does Hebrews 12 say? Whom the Father loves, He corrects. So it's a sign of love. All right. Not a sign of anger. It's a sign of love. Okay. Otherwise, you're going to get an irresponsible 30-year-old child. Amen. All right. So what is beneficial for them? It may mean sacrifice on my part. Okay. It may mean inconvenience on my part, but it's what is good for them. All right. Agape is not bribery or manipulation. All right, it's not twisting someone so I can get my way, all right? So I really, really, agape means I truly care about the welfare of this other person, okay? We saw that it's not jealous, it's not envious. Isn't that wonderful? And so that means when you have those thoughts of jealousy or envy, it just kind of mark it down that is not the love of God. That's coming from another place, all right? It's not boastful. And it is not rude, okay? One translation we saw, it says it doesn't get a big head. It's not big-headed, all right? Let's go to verse 5. Let's go to verse 5, and let's pick up on these descriptions of what agape looks like, all right? What are the characteristics that we can yield to, and we know that this is the love of God, all right? Verse 5, it does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. Oh, help me, Jesus. And it keeps no record of being wrong. Message Bible, verse 5 says, it doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always me first. It doesn't fly off the handle. It doesn't keep score. of the sins of others. All right? So first of all, it says agape does not demand its own way. Its own way. So how many of you know that when Jesus walked on the earth, he was really, really big into letting people make choices? So he saw different people and he'd say, hey, come, follow me. How many of you know he didn't tie them up? All right. He didn't use irresistible grace. God bless all the Calvinists in the room. Okay. But he allowed people to say yes. He allowed people to say no. Okay. Remember the rich young ruler? What did Jesus tell that guy? Come, follow me. I want you on my team. All right. What did the rich young ruler say when he read the fine print? No thanks. What did Jesus do about it? Nothing. I mean, Jesus let somebody just do their own thing? Absolutely, all the time. Went to his own hometown, right? And there he could do no mighty works. He didn't force his miracles upon them because they didn't recognize him as Jesus. So agape loves people, but agape also respects someone, yes, their yes, and it respects their no, all right? And so things like sexual abuse and rape, they may be the most anti-agape thing that anyone could do to someone else. The most self-centered, selfish, this is what I want and I will hurt you to get what I want. It is anti-agape. All right, now, sadly, many times, especially with children, the perpetrator will say things like, I love you, or I'm preparing you to be a woman, I'm preparing you to be a man. All right, and how many know sometimes it's not that hard to deceive a five-year-old or a seven-year-old because they don't have all the understanding and what they need to make it in life. Amen? But their entire motivation is twisted and it is self-centered. All right. Now, I just felt impressed as I was putting this together a few days ago. If that's happened to you, there's help. Amen. There's help. There's always healing in Jesus. And there are people at this church that will help you, and we will do it discreetly, and no one will know your business. All right. And we're actively involved in helping people like that. And so if that is still a pain in your life, there's healing in Jesus. Amen? But I do want to say this, that as agape-filled people, the Bible is really big about justice. All right? That we love what God loves, we hate what he hates. And if you know that this is going on, you cannot allow it to go on. Even if the perpetrator is your cousin, or your aunt, or your uncle, or your spouse, or your father, or your grandmother, all right? There are too many cases of this anti-agape abuse. And many times the 8-year-old or the 9-year-old will tell someone that they want, hey, I need help, I need protection. And they'll go to someone and they'll say, please help. Oh, no, that we can't do that to your uncle. What will happen to the family? What do you mean, what will happen to the family? Your uncle will be in a place called prison where he's supposed to be. That's where he's supposed to be. We need to protect society from him. And see, but sometimes people say, well, if I report this, or if I deal with this, or if I get people together and say, this is going to stop, all right, then I'm inflicting the pain on them. All right, you're not inflicting pain. They brought the pain on themselves when they chose to abuse a 5-year-old. Okay? So again, this is not for national TV. We're not putting this in the newspaper. This is for you, folks. This is for your families. Amen? And we've got to put a, at least we can put a stop to it in our own families. Amen? And it doesn't have to happen 100 times. If it happened once, it's too many. All right. That's what Jesus would do. All right. So it's not about me. It's about blessing someone else. So agape does not demand its own way. All right. So it is accommodating. All right. It is helpful. All right. The second part, this is one that, do you ever read stuff in the Bible and you're just thinking, I kind of wish it wasn't there. All right. The agape love of God, one version says it, it is not irritable. Irritable. It does not fly off the handle. It is not easily provoked. Pray for the pastor. Everybody put out your hands to the pastor right now. Okay. One version says it doesn't blow its top. Okay. You know what it means when you lose it? Okay, when you lose it, and I know that looks different for different people, all right? I saw, when we lived in South Africa, I saw a lot of this, all right, where people, they were just kind of on the edge at all times. I mean, their finger was on the trigger, and anything, boom, all right? So, I don't know about you, but to be not irritable, to be the opposite of irritable, I need supernatural help. It's not something I can just wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I'm making a firm decision today not to be irritable. Okay, well, that lasts about 5 minutes, right? You know, the dog is crazy and the traffic is crazy and this and that, right? And your phone runs out of time and... Okay, so we need supernatural help, but thankfully there is supernatural help. Now, we have different wirings. We have different personalities. And something I would highly encourage you is to kind of find out who you are, the DISC, D-I-S-C. And so people like me that are phlegmatic S, easygoing, peaceful. All right? It's literally why... I think why God sent me to Zambia is it's like, I found my people. We were separated at birth, but I made my way home. All right. So people like us that are S's, all right, phlegmatic, we don't get irritable every day necessarily. But when we do, it's like a volcano. It just is. There's steam. You begin to see there's steam, you know, a little poof, poof, poof. But then when it blows, yeah, it causes things to happen. All right. An I personality, a sanguine, people that are, we can kind of see you because you're real colorful and you're the life of the party. And you get real irritable about anything that's personal. Anything about you. All right. Everything is an insult. If somebody looks at you just the wrong way, what are they saying about me? I didn't do anything to them. Some people, I tell you, you know, these are our drama queens and our drama kings. All right. So, you know, they might necessarily get irritable in traffic or irritable on the job, but oh, they get irritable about personal issues. All right. And then we've got our C's and our D's. The C's, they like it detailed. The D's like to be in charge. All right. And boy, they get irritable when they're not in charge, when they don't get their way, when things aren't just perfect, all right? It irritates them. Okay, Walker, just look straight ahead. All right. Okay, so your personality, your temperament, your nationality, right? I don't have a short temper. I'm Irish. I'm not aggressive, I'm Nigerian. Right? right? So people sometimes, they, instead of allowing the agape love of God to help me with my volcano, right? I make excuses for it. Well, you know, that's just how we are. Well, no. Who's we? We are the children of God. We are agape people. We have the love of God in our hearts. And when we yield to that love, it won't make us quick-tempered. It won't make us irritable. Amen? All right. So, now, let's look at another verse, because I think this is really important as we look at this. Because sometimes people think that if I have agape, if I have agape love, nothing will ever upset me. That is very unbiblical. It's very ungodlike. All right? Did Jesus have times where he was upset? Okay. Did he ever sin? He never sinned. Did he ever injure people? Never. But did things bother him? Kind of on every page. Read the Gospels, all right? Oh, you Pharisees. Oh, I know it's been hard living under the law. And, you know, I mean, all you've had is Leviticus. I mean, I guess I'd be legalist too if I were you. I mean, I understand you. Come, sit on my Jesus couch and tell me how you feel, Pharisee. No, he was bothered, right? He was bothered by things. All right, look at Ephesians chapter 4. This is also in the Bible. So where love is not easily angered, it is not irritable, it doesn't blow its top, but it's also, this is also a truth at the same time. These are not contradictory truths. Ephesians 4:26, and don't sin by letting anger control you. So when anger is controlling you, you might sin. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Okay, from the Message Bible. Go ahead and be angry. Now some of you, that's the only thing you're going to take home today. Hey husband, you missed church, but here's what I learned today. Go ahead and be angry, all right? Well, go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry, but don't use your anger as a fuel for revenge. Because vengeance is always wrong, okay? And don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life, all right? What anger is, it is an indicator. Anger tells us something is not okay. Something is wrong. All right? So think of yourself if you're driving down your agape vehicle. All right? It's red, of course. All right? So you're driving down the road of life in your agape vehicle. All right? And the engine that's driving you is the agape love of God. Amen? All right. Now, anger is one of the indicators on the dashboard. All right? Boop, boop, boop. Oops, something's wrong. Something's wrong here. All right? Like we just talked, there was maybe an abuse situation. That should make you angry. All right? So what am I going to do? I'm going to go kill him. No. That the agape vehicle, the agape mobile doesn't do vengeance. Love controls us, the Bible says. Anger informs us. Okay? Don't let anger have the wheel. Don't let anger be the engine. And there are people, even Christians sometimes, that they've turned off agape long ago and they put in a new engine in their vehicle. And on that back it says agape mobile, but what's driving their life is anger. It's amazing. Christians, I've met some pretty angry Christians in my day, all right? And it literally drives their life. It tells them where to go, all right? So let anger, in a sense, give you the memo. Let it inform you. Read it. But then let agape make the decision. Amen. Don't let anger control you. All right? Another version says, be slow to anger. Amen? Be angry and sin not. So the good news is that when I am angry, I haven't sinned yet. Kind of just like temptation. Temptation in and of itself is not a sin. All right? Are you going to go through the door or not? Are you going to give anger the wheel? Rather, Jesus take the wheel. Amen? All right. So let the love of God control us. All right? And again, I know that that love is going to look different for different people. All right? And what irritates you does not irritate me. Okay? And here's the interesting thing, usually in a marriage, is have you discovered that many times you don't get irritated at the same thing? All right? So typically in a marriage, you have one person who likes to save money and another person who likes to spend money, typically on themselves. Right? And so for the saver of the money, that irritates them. And they're bothered, right? Even to the point of, why did you have to buy a packet of groundnuts? And the other person's like, don't be irritated. You're wrong to be irritated. Because here you could be $1 million in debt and you're not irritated, right? As long as you've got purple shoes, the world is good. Amen. All right, but we have to deal. We have to deal with our own irritation. Amen? And let's not ask other people, stop irritating me. Okay, because you literally are going to have to go live in the bush by yourself for the rest of your life without a cell phone. Because even if you have a cell phone, it's going to irritate you because they send you texts at 02 in the morning. Oh, do you want to know your horoscope? No, I don't want to know my horoscope. Cell phone company, you're irritating me. All right? No, we allow the love of God to temper our irritation, to deal with it. Amen? And even in our irritation or in our anger, we say, okay, God, what would love do right now? What's going to benefit? Amen? All right. What else does it say? Love keeps no record of being wronged. Message Bible, I love the way it puts it. It does not keep score of the sins of others. How many of you know we live in a world, 2017, where we are keeping score about everything? Okay, we are keeping score. How many of you know that a football match wouldn't be that much fun if it wasn't for the score, right? You know, so I watched a couple this week, and there were goals at the very, very end, and I mean, it was incredibly exciting, but it was only exciting because the team won it at the end. All right. A lot of people use money and stuff to keep score. All right. It's why a lot of people with their money, they need to show everybody that I have it because it's a giant scoreboard. I mean, let's face it, ladies. Is a $1,000 handbag more functional than a $200 handbag? Huh? No. And here's the thing, none of the handbag manufacturers just make it black. It's got something, a logo or a design or something that we go, whoa, wow, amen. Why do people put the logos on the outside of the clothes? Why do men sometimes not take off the tag on their suits? Oh, by the way, this didn't come from my grandfather. Come on, right? Amen. All right. So we love keeping score. We love keeping score. My wife and I grew up playing sport all the time. If it has a ball, we'll play it. All right? and we don't necessarily play sport for the sheer enjoyment of the fresh air. We want to win. We enjoy winning. Well, how do you win? You have to keep score. All right, so when our kids are really smart, and so they come home, and so we play cards, all right? But guess what we're doing? Keeping score, all right? And we're even keeping score about other things that we're not keeping score about. All right, so we played, I don't know, probably, 20? My wife went somewhere, all right? Hope I didn't offend her. Okay. So, but yeah, we're keeping scores of all the different games. But in my mind, you know what I'm doing? I'm keeping score of who's won the most. After service, I can share with you who that person was. All right. All right. So, but here's the bad thing. We do it in our relationships, don't we? We keep a scorecard. We have a giant screen of all the wrongs that people have done. Tick, 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 tick. Something happens. All right. We keep our pencils sharp and the notebook close by. All right. So what does love do? Love does not keep score. All right. It's not a matter of who's winning. It's not a matter of who's in debt to one another. All right. I'm winning in the love game. All right. Again, after all I've done for you. Agape is not about bookkeeping. Now, please understand, if you work in a bank, it is about bookkeeping, all right? And you don't have a bank to love people. Okay, so please, if you're a teller and you lost 10,000 kwacha, don't say, well, I heard at church that you just need to agape me and just love it off. No, this is about our relationships, not our bank accounts, okay? So love does not keep score. It doesn't keep score. And again, we want to be winning, and so we're going to keep score of all the awesome things we've done, and we're going to make sure that our friend or our spouse or whoever, that their ledger is much bigger than our ledger, because they're in debt to us, okay? Whether that's true or not, okay? So, but let's ask ourselves a question. Okay, so love doesn't keep score, but does agape, does the love of God recognize or realize that it's been sinned against? Does it recognize pain or sin? Absolutely yes. All right. It's that agape doesn't write it down. Okay. There was a YouTube maybe 10 years ago, these two little British kids, and this little baby bit his brother's finger. And he said, ow, Charlie, that hurt. All right, agape still recognizes when you get hurt. And you say, ow, Charlie. Agape is not, doesn't mean that you've had all your nerve endings deadened. Okay, because again, that's a misunderstanding of agape, is that people can sin against me and injure me and hurt me, and the cold doesn't bother me anyway. Huh? Sin doesn't bother me anyway. Sure it does. Sure it hurts. It hurt Jesus. All right? How many of you know Jesus predicted Peter's 3 denials? He didn't say, well, it's going to happen. Oh, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't bother me. I mean, here's going to be the next, you know, pastor of Jerusalem, and he's going to, whatever. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4, and this is a great text to see the balance of this. Okay, this is written by the Holy Ghost, right? This is written by the same Holy Ghost that brought the love of God into our heart. The same Holy Ghost who helps us not to keep score of people's sins against us. All right. 2 Timothy 4:14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. How much harm? Much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. Not me, Paul, but the Lord. You, Timothy, you also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. Okay, so love is not blind. Love is wide awake. All right? It is not living irresponsibly toward myself. Okay? So if I'm being continually injured, Proverbs says that a wise man hides himself from evil, even when that evil is in a person. Okay? Now, please make sure you define evil. Evil is, it's evil, it's sinful. Okay? All right? So I'm not keeping score, but I am keeping myself safe. There's a big difference. Do you see that? All right? Love deals with things responsibly. Okay? So one of the reasons why love doesn't have to keep score is because I have a very, I've got a very short ledger. All right? So someone sins against me. All right? I'm going to deal with it in a biblical way. All right? If it's a brother, if it's a sister, what does Matthew 18 tell us to do? Ignore it. Pretend like it didn't matter. Make excuses for them. Well, I know they were under a lot of pressure. No. What does Matthew 18 say? Go to your brother. Personally, I believe it is the most under-applied verse in the Bible in Christianity today. When you have a problem with your brother, go to your brother. People do 100 other things. Well, just pray about it. It doesn't say pray about it. Don't pray about it. Praying is not going to do anything. You don't have a problem with God. You have a problem with your brother. In fact, so much you're at church and you're giving an offering. That's towards God. God says, hey, leave the praise and worship service. Put down the tithe envelope and go make things right with your brother. Amen. It's not a God-me problem. It's a you-me problem. All right? So, and when we try a few times, and then there is a time where we say, okay, that didn't work. Okay? All right. So, love deals with things responsibly. It keeps things moving forward. All right? Love also then, the hurt and the pain, it hurls it. It releases it. That's called forgiveness. All right? That's the Greek word for forgiveness, is to throw it away. All right, that pain, I'm not going to hold on to that pain, okay? Now, what's the opposite of this? Is that we keep offenses and we put them in the garden of our heart and we fertilize them. We give them a great growing environment. We go and visit them every day and we talk to them. Yeah, I know what she did to you. Yeah, I know what she did to you. And we read it again and we rehash it. Resentment means to feel again and we feed it. And then we get a team together to help grow that offense. Come, my friends. Did you hear what she did to me? Oh, I heard. Come. Would you add some water? Yes. Who does she think she is? I don't know who she thinks she is. Well, you know what I think? I think da 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 da, and then you start reading their minds and reading their motive, and you water and you fertilize it. And you know what? In a few months, you have got a baobab tree. The Bible says, don't let an evil root of bitterness get in your heart. Well, guess what? Roots don't start as roots. They start as small little seeds of offenses. Okay, well, see, the love, agape deals with it. Agape says, hey, let's chat about it. Agape says, man, we need to deal with this. Let's settle this. Well, I don't want to settle it. Okay, well, I forgive you, but I'm moving forward with my life. All right? Amen? All right, so we don't keep offenses. We deal with offenses. It forgives. It reconciles where possible. All right? Love does not keep writing down things. And then finally, you have a chat. And then what do? You bring out the offenses of the last 20 years. Brrr. You go to the marriage counseling deal for, you know, one thing. Well, ma'am, you know, how can we help you today? What seems to be the problem? Well, back in 1972. And furthermore. And whoa, why are you remembering all this? I've got a ledger. I've kept track of all these offenses. All right? Agape doesn't write them down. Agape deals with them responsibly. Amen? All right. What else does agape do? It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. All right? It rejoices not in injustice. Okay, well, this is talking about agape's, I would say, its affiliation with the fear of God. All right, the fear of God is to love what God loves and to hate what he hates. Okay, that my value system is aligned with God's value system. Okay, years ago, probably, that's probably been 10 years. I found myself in a situation where, man, I had been wronged, all right, cussed at, and it was, and I'm a sweet pastor, right, sometimes, all right, so anyway, I was mad, you know, and so, but things were kind of just stuck. You know, and this was not a family member. This was not somebody I had to have a relationship with, but it was important. And I had thought I had dealt with it. Okay. But what I found was, and the Holy Spirit brought this out to me, is that person was going through some trouble in their life. And it was really sad. Okay. And they were going through some injustices. All right. And I never said it to anybody. I never said it to my wife. But you know what, deep down on the inside, as a pastor, you know what I'm thinking? Didn't tell anybody. But the emotion in my heart was rejoicing. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like, come against the man of God, and the anointing will strike you down. No, it wasn't that. It was just normal, carnal, anti-agape. All right? That they had caused some pain in my life. All right? And I wasn't going to inflict it on them, because after all, that's unchristian. But I certainly am going to have a little private dance party. Huh? When they are hurting and when they are going through something on the inside, not crazy dancing, but just kind of, oh yeah, keeping it right here. Mm-hmm. Feeling good. Mm-hmm. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. Okay. Some of you don't even have the private dance party. You just go full on wedding reception crazy. Right? Agape does not rejoice when the devil wins. Agape does not rejoice when anything that is anti-God is happening. Does not rejoice. Does not rejoice. I want you can kind of check your heart about this. What in the newspaper and the news makes you happy? Oh, man, I'm talking about Christians in America and Zambia, South Africa. Something happens to the other team. Whoa, yeah, try that again. Huh, right? The problem is your team has term limits. Mm-hmm. Yep. But we rejoice not when God is happy. And here's a way to check your heart and ask yourself this question. Is God celebrating with you? Is God happy when you're happy? Okay, because here's the thing. When someone is hurting, even when a sinner is going through trouble, God's not rejoicing. God's not celebrating. When your ex-husband or ex-wife or ex-boyfriend or girlfriend... Huh? What does agape do? Your boyfriend, right? Treated you terribly. He gets engaged to a nice, sweet Christian girl. What does agape do? Amen. Congratulations. Wishing you well. That's the love of God. Because how does God feel about that? Well, maybe he got his heart right. Maybe things got better. Amen? Tell your neighbor, Jesus, help me. See, this is why we need supernatural love. There's no human love that makes you feel that way. And so God dealt with me about this person. I was rejoicing. I was having dance parties. Holy Spirit said, forgive that person. Release them. And I started pleading God's case for them. I started asking God for have mercy on them. And he began to. And oh, I tell you, my heart was free. Next time I saw him, I kissed him. And I meant it. It wasn't, oh, I love you with the love of the Lord. No, it was the agape love in me. Amen. And things are okay. And I moved on. And so how many of God can help us? Amen. All right. God anoints me to preach. He does not anoint me any more than you to live this way. I wish there was like a pastoral love anointing. There is none. We've all got to do agape together. Amen. So is your rejoicing aligned with God's heart and God's justice system? Is your rejoicing aligned with him? Amen. In Luke 15, when the Pharisees asked Jesus, his disciples, you know, why does your rabbi eat with sinners? Why does he care about him? And he told three stories: the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. And if you look in all of those accounts, whenever that thing was found, or the son came home, the person rejoiced. The shepherd rejoiced. The woman found the coin. She rejoiced, called a party, asked her friends to come. All right? The father threw a party. The Pharisees had a saying in that day that when one sinner dies, heaven rejoices. What did Jesus say? He knew what they thought. He knew that saying. And he said, when one sinner comes home, all of heaven rejoices. You see, they had made an assumption about what makes heaven happy that was different than reality. All right? And God does not rejoice when your enemies fall. Amen? And neither should you. Amen? Jesus said, I didn't come to kill the Samaritans, James and John. Amen? So put away the dangerous prayers and pick up the agape love of God. And I'll say this, and this is biblically accurate. The agape love of God would never, never cause you or lead you to pray a prayer. The woman who's trying to sit on my husband's lap, let her have a somersault and die by fire, by fire. That's not the love of God. That's not the love of God. Here's one. Well, now we're on the subject. Now I can make everybody mad at the same time. All right. Remember that the guy that threw the juju in the gold? They're losing 2-0, right? Indirect kick. So he's going to throw the juju in the net. Or he did. All right. Guess what? What does the love of God think about that young man? I mean, what? He's 17, 18, 19 years old. He's full of witchcraft. If he doesn't get saved, he's going to hell. What does agape think about that young man? Whew. God, help him. God, send laborers to his path. God, open his eyes. Huh? How many of you know his eternal soul is more important than a goal? Indirect kick. Fire, 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 fire. Oh, we got fire. Well, there was no fire. Half the stadium was calling fire. There was no fire. The day the stadium turned Pentecostal. Yep. UCZ, Catholics, Baptists, fire, fire. Oh, yeah. That's true. If you were there, that's what happened. Agape did not inspire those prayers. Agape did not inspire those prayers. Give them a yellow card. Whatever. Right? Amen. Agape aligns itself with God's heart at all times. Oh, but how many of you know our heart sometimes is different? Okay, so let the love of God, let agape win the day. Let it become dominant in your motives, in how you feel, and how you act. Amen? All right, let's pray. Let's ask God to help us to yield to this wonderful love. Father, Lord, we do need your help. And Lord, as we were looking at these verses in 5 and 6, oh, Lord, this is in our natural human strength, God, this does not seem like the easiest thing we've ever accomplished. Lord, this is supernatural. This is really, really swimming upstream, Father, from the way of the world that we live in. Father, help us not to pervert your love to be some soft, mushy, painless thing. But Father, may it be a force of our life, a force that aligns our heart with yours, a force that blesses and helps people. Father, a force that is wide awake, Father, that seeks reconciliation where possible, God. Father, help us. Help us, help us, help us. Father, I pray right now for every individual, and I ask you just to pray this prayer. Every believer, just say this with me. Say, God, I yield to your love. Where I have been yielding to other forces, to other motives, I repent. I'm sorry. I see what it is. It's wrong. Today, I yield to your love. Your love has the way of my heart and of my life. Holy Spirit, thank you. You have enabled me to love just like this. Thank you. You empower me every day and in every moment to love your way. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Some of you believers, the Holy Spirit right now is speaking to you. He's telling you actions, people, things you need to do, things you need to do to take a step in love. To take a step in love. Maybe some of you, it's that you need to love the person who's getting hurt and abused, and you need to love them more than loving your desire that everyone likes you. And you're the one who can stand in the gap and help make things right and stand for justice in that situation. Not vengeance, justice. And that's what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. Leading you to do. Father, we thank you for your grace, for your power. Help us, Jesus. Help us, help us, help us, Father. Lord, help me, Lord, with that situation. Lord, help me. Thank you for your grace. With every head bowed, every eye closed, God loves you. He has unconditional love towards every person in this auditorium. He loves you so much that he sent his own son and he caused him to die, to be tortured, and to take your punishment for your sin because he loves you. And that love was on display. And as we said, God allows you to say yes or no. And maybe you've been in this place today and you realize, boy, I have spent too much of my life saying no to God's love, saying no to his plan and purpose, no to his invitation to be adopted into the family. And today, you're going to say yes. You're saying, yes, I will make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. Yes, I will accept the gift of salvation. Yes, I'll come home like that prodigal son. I'll come home to my Father's house and receive restoration and forgiveness. and today you're saying yes. How do you do that? You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. I'd love to be able to do that with you today. And so that we can, wherever you are right now, you're saying yes to Jesus Christ. Yes, I need to be born again. Yes, I need to come home from a place of sin and rebellion. Wherever you are right now, simply lift up your hand. Just lift it up real, real high. Just wave it at me. Thank you there in the back. Thank you, sir. Anybody over here on the sides? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Say yes all the way. Thank you. All the way in the back there. Thank you. Right here. Thank you, sir. Say yes to his love. Yes to his plan. Thank you. Wonderful, wonderful. Before we pray, anyone else? Say, Pastor, that's me. Just wave it at me. We don't want to miss you. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir, all the way in the back. Can we all stand to our feet, everyone in the congregation? Let's stand to our feet. Oh, God is good. Those of you that lifted up your hand, what I'd ask you to do is grab your Bible, your handbag, whatever you brought with you to church, and just come up front. Just come up front right now. We want to pray with you. God is going to do a miracle in your heart, a miracle in your life right now. Let's give these folks a big hand clap as they're coming. Amen. He's a good God. He's a good Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Thanks for coming. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thanks for coming. Amen. Just come. Just be bold. Maybe you think I didn't lift my hand, but I certainly should have. Just come. God bless you, sir. Thanks for coming. God bless you. Just come. It's all right. God bless you, ma'am. Thanks for coming. Amen. Now, if I wanted to give this Bible to you as a gift, you would just reach out your hand, right, and receive it. So God has a gift of salvation, of forgiveness for you. Just lift up your hand right now. Let's lift up our hand towards Him. Let's just say this from our heart. Say, God, I believe that You love me. You sent Jesus to die in my place. I accept Him as my Lord, as my Savior. He is risen from the dead. Jesus, I turn to You. I turn away from every wrong thing, from every sin. I follow You for the rest of my life. Thank You, Jesus.